Now is a great time to replace your worn-out windows during the Renewal by Andersen 25-year savings event. Upgrade your home today. Buy four windows and get the fifth one free. Plus, get 12 months with no interest, no money down, and no payments. Call now. Get four windows and get the fifth one free. Installation and warranty included. Renewal by Andersen takes every CDC-recommended safety precaution to protect your family. For 25 years, people have trusted us for their window replacement needs, and you can too. Call now to learn about our buy four, get the fifth one free window replacement offer.
800-413-6992. 800-413-6992. 800-413-6992. That's 800-413-6992.
Interest accrues from date of purchase, but is waived if paid in full within 12 months. We've adjusted our operations to serve you safely following all CDC guidelines. Visit renewalbyanderson.com for details.
Trotsky Ranch. Complete player development. Body. Tools. Makeup. Six Tool Nation.
I'm Nate Trotsky. Welcome to CPD, a weekly show dedicated to meeting the needs of the aspiring amateur player in pursuit of college and professional baseball. In studio with my double play combo, lifelong learner, ABCA National High School Coach of the Year, Trent Mongero. Trent, how you doing, brother?
Doing great, brother. Doing great. Always excited to hear from our guests, and we have an outstanding one again tonight.
Trent, great to have you once again. It's great to be in studio, and let's get straight to the Mind Gym. It's time to train the brain with the mental game acronym of the week. What do you got for us, Trent?
The mental game acronym of the week is TTB2, which means train the brain, trick the brain. But a quick reminder of last week's acronym, Nate, it was EYL, edit your life.
Thank you, Trent. Before we head to our guests, like we do at the beginning of each show, we briefly address what we call here at CPD as the graveyard. And the graveyard is the great disparity of what players set out to accomplish early in their careers and what they actually accomplished by the end. And looking back at both of our careers and the careers of most, it's the same story, the staggering numbers of the few that actually accomplished what they set out to accomplish. And Trent, both as players, and we've lived it, you know, we've experienced it, and this is why we do what we do here at CPD, and why it's the heart of our show to give amateur players the opportunity to reach the height of their ceiling. A quick recap from last week's show, our professional guest was the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, Dayton Moore, and Dayton was outstanding. And a memorable takeaway from Dayton was the value the Royals place on the development of the personhood of each player in their organization, so that the 85% of the minor leaguers that don't make the big leagues will go out into their communities and be difference makers. Tune into all shows, all prior shows at TrotskyRanch.com, and follow us on social media at Trotsky Ranch, at Trotsky Baseball, and at Coach Mongero. Today's outstanding guest, brought to you by Soldier Sports, is one of baseball's very best. Coach, teacher, educator, Colorado Rockies' very own Jerry Weinstein. We'll be right back with our professional guest, Jerry Weinstein, right after the break.
Are you 60 plus and love to travel? Introducing the Senior Travel Discount Network, brought to you by Low Cost Airlines. Call us anytime, day or night, and save up to 75% on your airline and hotel reservations. We can help you save a ton of money to fly almost anywhere. We have inside discounts on over 500 airlines and 500,000 hotels worldwide. And when you call and mention the discount code 60 plus, we'll give you an extra free night with your qualified air and hotel reservation. Now you can get the best prices on air and hotel reservations with your phone. We make it easy and fast for you to save money and book a trip. Remember, call the Senior Travel Discount Network. Mention the discount code 60 plus for your free hotel night with your qualified reservation. Call now.
800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. That's 800-493-6118.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said,
My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it. Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. That's 800-410-4771.
Rates have dropped to near all-time lows at ClearPath Lending. Rates are as low as 1.75% on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, 1.986% APR. Call ClearPath Lending, 844-800-3205. Loan officers are standing by. ClearPath Lending at 844-800-3205.
Loans not available in all states. 1.75% rate, 1.986% APR. Subject to 800 minimum FICO score and includes up to 2 discount points. Other restrictions apply. Call 888-855-6361 or visit clearpathlending.com for details about credit costs, terms, and license information. ClearPath Lending Incorporated. 15615 Alton Parkway, Suite 300, Irvine, California, 92618. NMLS ID number 936436. Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California financing law license number 603J783 in California. Equal housing opportunity lender.
Call now and save thousands. 844-800-3205.
Welcome back to Trotsky Ranch, Complete Player Development with Nate Trotsky and Trent Mongero.
Welcome back to the show, Nate Trotsky with Trent Mongero and our outstanding guest, our professional guest, brought to you by Soldier Sports. Jerry Weinstein of the Colorado Rockies, special assistant to scouting and player development. And before we, talk with Jerry here, I just want to talk just briefly on his resume. It's not a brief resume. It's like a menu. And so he's been with Team USA. He's been in Division I baseball, junior college baseball. He's been at the major league level. He's done it all. National teams, World Classic, and I had the opportunity to play against in college his team. When he was coaching at Sacramento City College earlier in his career of coaching, and we played them in the state final playoffs there, and it was awesome. And Jerry's journey continues, and we're so excited to have Jerry on. Jerry, thank you for being here, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nate. Trent, really looking forward to this next half hour or so.
Thank you, Jerry. So with your resume, Jerry, so many experiences. Is there any one that could stand out, and with Team USA, with the major leagues, with Division I baseball, I mean, you know, Team Israel, is there anything that stands out as maybe extra special?
Well, I mean, at the time, in real time, everything was special for me. I was always really good about being where my feet were, and you know, I've had so many good experiences and been associated with so many good people. I hesitate to select one or a few. Everything has been good. I've been very fortunate. I've had, obviously I have a long resume cause I'm old, but I've had a lot of good experiences. I enjoyed myself at Santa Monica High School. I've enjoyed myself wherever I've been. That's been one of the things that, I made sure that I was responsible for that. So I made that choice that I was going to get the most out of the moment.
What was it like coaching with Skip Berman? You were with Skip with Team USA, and was there anything you learned from Skip?
No, we were together for 2 years. That was 95 and 96. We had a national team tour in 95 because that was one of the things that was important to Skip, to have our team together for 2 years. But Skip is tremendous. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, I left Sacramento City College. I took a leave of absence when Skip left to go to LSU, and I became Ron Frazier's assistant, Skip teed me up for that one. And we've been very, very close friends for almost 50 years. As a matter of fact, I just talked to Skip. He just got out of the hospital. He's had a little infection. He's doing well. And I've learned a lot of things from Skip, and we had a great staff. Ron Polk was on that staff, and Rich Alday, who unfortunately just passed away, and Ray Tanner and Dave Snow. It was an unbelievable group of coaches. We learned a lot from one another.
That's awesome. What are some coaches that actually have really shaped you early on in your coaching career that have helped you become the coach that you have become? I know you said you have, you know, a wide range, but was there like any certain mentoring that, or any models that you kind of followed after that kind of led you to where you are?
Well, I was 8 years old, and that was when Little League was just starting, and they were 8 year olds were in Little League. And my Little League coach was a guy named Murray Burke, and he had just come back from Korea, and his son was on our team, and I was on his team, and he had an unbelievable passion for the game. And I think that early on, you know, you kind of imprint, you know, kind of like those ducks walking around and they see that mama duck and they follow him. And so I followed him around, and he was really impactful on me, developing a real appreciation and love and competitiveness. He was, even with young little kids, he was really competitive. And that was a time where we had, as a Little League group, you didn't change teams from year to year. You were on the same team every year. So he was very impactful early on. And then my college coach, Art Reichel at UCLA. But at that time in Southern California, there were tremendous baseball programs, probably the best it's ever been in the history of college baseball. And that was Rod Dedeaux at USC. And I spent a lot of time watching Rod Dedeaux. And after I graduated, I spent a lot of time talking to him, and Wally Kincaid at Cerritos College, and John Herbold at Lakewood, and later LA State. And in the time that I was playing at UCLA and through high school, we always used to play on a scout league team on the weekends if we didn't have a football meeting or football game or something. And the scouts at those times were older, and they would sit around after the game and talk about baseball. A lot of black scouts would talk about the Negro leagues, and I was always right there. And so I think that was very helpful to me to be in Southern California at that time with a lot of people sharing information.
So part of your journey has been surrounding yourself with other coaches, and my journey is in a similar sense. And you know, you were at Cal Poly, which was about 2 hours from my house in Carmel, California. And I sought out Jerry Weinstein because I wanted to get better. And I gave you a call. I don't know if you remember, you were down in the office and, you know, you're like, we're kind of like, who are you? And this was, I don't know.
I knew who you were.
Cal Poly days. What, do you remember the dates on Cal Poly? You first took your job there?
Yeah. I got fired by the Dodgers in 2001, and I went to work that fall at Cal Poly, and I was there till January of 2007. I went to work for the Rockies.
Okay, so I came down, and you gave me an opportunity, and that was significant for me because that was 20 years ago, and you said, Nate, come on in, and you gave me an opportunity to spend, you know, days with you. And I remember you said, Nate, you're going to go work with the outfielders. And I'm like, really? So you put me down at the bottom field, right? And I had like 4 hours a day with these cats, right? And I was like, what am I going to do? Well, I was creative, and I basically took a lot of infield concepts and speed training concepts, and I started to develop a philosophy of outfield development. And so I'm down there developing as an outfield coach, and then I'd come up and listen to you and Larry. And it was incredible. And I want to say thank you. But is any advice you can give to the young coaches or the coaches today? Because so many of the players think we have to receive. Like, I want to play because you gave me a scholarship. And Sean Cole, when he was coach of the year when at Arizona, when they won the College World Series, you know, a few years ago, he went on as a volunteer to work for free. And he would speak at our showcase and he'd say, guys, you got to be willing to play the game for free. So any comments on that?
Well, I might make an additional observation. Sometimes you have to coach and lose money. You have to, how much is it going to cost me to coach here? Because I've done that too. But there's no substitute for information. The man with the most information wins. Information is king. And the way you gain information is through coaching, through reading, through studying, through talking, through asking good questions, and trying to get around good people as much as you can. I think that's really critical.
Hey, Jerry. Trent Mongiro here. We just got a few minutes before our first break, so we may have to pick this one back up when we get back in. But you've been involved in player development for so long, and we hear things, you know, in the coaching profession, like the game has changed, hitting has changed, pitching's changed, the game has changed. So I'm going to put it to you, a guy that's been through it all. How much has the game changed, in your opinion, or has it not?
I think from a player development standpoint, I think the game has changed considerably. The MO used to be, hey, get that guy 3,000 at-bats and get that pitcher 600-700 innings in the minor leagues, and if he's good enough, he'll be a big league player. And I think now we're being a lot more proactive in our teaching. We've got much better information, especially we have a much better understanding of biomechanics. Relative to movement studies and the analysis, you know, things like 4D motion, where we can really analyze movement and quantify it. And I think that there's a lot more tools, not that we're teaching any differently, because all it's done is it's reinforced our basic intuition and gut feel for a lot of things we do. But the strength and conditioning area has been humongous, because in the day, we all know that when we started to, hey, you had to sneak into the weight room. They didn't want, and the fact that I played football too, you know, gave me a license to go in the weight room and not have the baseball coach ask me, what the hell are you doing in there? And I think that strength and speed, and we're more systematic in the way we approach player development. We do a better job of evaluating it. And I think that's the big difference today as far as player development is concerned. But it's much better. It's never been any better. And the players have never been any better. I you know, there are guys, oh, well, and when we played this and that, hey, you couldn't carry these guys jocks today. They're so much, they're so athletic and they're so strong and fast and twitchy. I think that the game is in a good place.
Yeah, that's outstanding to hear. And you know, when we come back after the break, I really want to get your take on, you know, was there a lot of resistance in some facets of the game to this change, or was it quickly embraced, or, you know, what was it about you that allowed you to advance through? So we're getting ready to head to our first break. We'll be right back with Jerry Weinstein after this short commercial break.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Program. On the line is Paul from California. Hi, Paul. What's your tax problem today?
Hi, Ronnie. Love your show. Listen, I've got a big problem. You see, my paycheck was garnished last week, and I'm only getting half the normal amount. To make matters worse, the IRS froze my bank account. Listen, I'm embarrassed and scared. I need some help.
Listen, Paul, you don't need to feel embarrassed. You just need some tax help. And the great news is the IRS has some unbelievable programs that can eliminate your tax debt, so you don't have to worry about having your paycheck garnished or your bank levied. Doesn't that sound great?
It sure does, Ronnie.
Then do yourself a huge favor and get a free consultation right now. And tell them the tax lady sent you.
855-715-5721. 855-715-5721. 855-715-5721. That's 855-715-5721.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. This ad is sponsored by Janelle and Associates Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas.
Attention all former Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts. If you were sexually abused by an adult scout leader, even if the abuse happened decades ago, listen closely, as you may be entitled to substantial compensation. The Boy Scouts of America have billions of dollars in assets and have agreed to set up a victim compensation fund for victims of child sexual abuse, even if the abuse happened decades ago. Our attorneys can file a claim for you and get you the justice and closure you deserve while you remain completely anonymous. If you suffered abuses from scout leaders and those who knew about the abuse but failed to stop it, call our law firm's confidential scout abuse helpline at 800-608-1429, as you may be entitled to substantial compensation. But hurry, as time is running out to file a claim. Call 800-608-1429 right now to see if you are eligible for substantial compensation. Call 800-608-1429. That's 800-608-1429. 800-608-1429.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. That's 877-360-0402.
Welcome back to Trosky Ranch, Complete Player Development with Nate Trosky and Trent Mongiero.
Hey, Trent Mongiero, back with Nate Trosky and Jerry Weinstein. We were talking before the break about the transformation of development over the years and how it's changed, especially individual player development, but ultimately just reinforcing, you know, the skills and the knowledge that were already there. But Jerry, my question is this, like, I'm sure there was a facet of resistance by a certain portion of the people that were involved in professional baseball as these changes took place, such as weight training. And, you know, we see it now with the, you know, of course, all the numbers and data, and you got, like, you know, facets of people that are for it or against it. And what was it about you that allowed you to embrace the changes as they came along? Even now, I mean, what's your take on, you know, some of the newest trends? And, you know, are you embracing those, or are you finally resisting?
No, I've never been a resistor. The more that you know, the less you know. And like I said, information really important. I remember early on, and I had played football. Tried to play at UCLA, wasn't very good. But I've always been a product of, with football, videotape and everything like that. And I remember one day went to a clinic at SC that the Dodgers were running, and Al Campanis was up speaking, and he was the vice president in charge of player development, really sharp guy, I mean, incredibly sharp. And, hey, any questions? I said, what do you think of videotape? He says, son, he says, you have the best videotape you need in your head. I was crushed, but I knew a video, and I'm talking about what I was using 8mm tape and splicing it and stuff like that. And then in 1969, I was at Santa Monica High School, and we had a cousin who was getting his PhD at Caltech. He was a rocket scientist. He worked for NASA. And he stayed with us in our house, and he wanted to do something. He says, what can I do for you? Because he and his wife said, I said, well, you know, I got this idea. I'd like to have a device that could time the speed of a baseball. And he says, well, with these LED things and these this type of stuff, he said, I can make something like that for you. And so he made this huge contraption that you threw the ball through, and you tripped light sensors, and it would give you it had a readout would give you the miles per hour approximate. And so he built it, and the first day we used it, we broke it. Well, about 1975, I was at Sac City, and I was at Hughes Stadium, which is a football stadium, and the Brewers were playing in our football stadium. The left field line was about 238 feet, and there was a Texas Ranger scout there, and he had just started using this Decatur electronic radar gun. And so I saw that thing, and nobody's been using radar guns. And I said, where did you get that? He gave me all the contact information. He had gotten it from a highway patrolman. And so we scraped up enough money, and that was one of those where I donated to buy the gun. And we had a gun at Sac City in 1975, and there were scouts that they looked at me and said, what are you going to do next time? X-ram? You know, I didn't get a lot of support for that. And for me, at that time, that was one of the greatest tools I had, because I could really assess, especially in night games, you know, velocities. And we had a lot of under the radar, it's a pun, but under the radar type pitchers who had velocity that people didn't realize it because they didn't have a lot of polish to go with it. And we ended up coaching them up, and they ended up being good players, some of them professional and a couple guys in the big leagues, but by use of our radar gun. And now, the technology that's available now with all the new analytic devices like you know, some of the, I was talking about 4D motion where you can, where they have, you can evaluate rotational acceleration just through this app and sensors, and, you know, very similar to what you do with the K-Best and what we're doing with, and with the Rockies. I mean, we use Edgertronic, we use TrackMan, we use HitTrax, we use Rapsodo. And I mean, early on, the people with the best technology got a leg up. But you look at the ascension of the Houston Astros, and basically they unlocked the secret of spin rate. And they found, they did their analytics, they did their homework, they really analyzed TrackMan. They found out that, hey, those high four seamers and velocity really were effective. And that those are the guys they drafted, signed, and developed. And it doesn't, it's not a secret for long, because, you know, we all look and, you know, we see who's having success, what are they doing? And if you look closely enough, it doesn't become a secret. And now everybody has picked up on that. And now we're learning more about conditioning relative to fascia and proprioception. And I mean, there's so many areas out there. And just with the amount of data that's available out there, and just to see the data analysts and the academy guys and what people derogatorily call the internet gurus, those guys have got info, and they're the guys that are really developing players. And, you know, I mean, when you see your players go to Driveline or the Texas Baseball Ranch or Randy Sullivan, the Florida Baseball Ranch, the changes in the game are being generated from the ground up. And it used to be that the trickle-down effect was, hey, what are they doing in the big leagues? Well, that's what we're doing. It trickled down. And now a lot of the information and methodology that we're using is coming from below us, from these academy guys that have time to really dig in on a lot of the technology.
That's really interesting. You know, so many good points you made that I just want to go down all these rabbit trails. But the last point you made about, you know, how things are kind of going from the ground up. You know, my son played at College of Central Florida with Marty Smith last year at JUCO in Florida. And I think he's had three or four of his assistants hired away to professional baseball because they were so good with their data. But let's shift gears for a little bit. You know, you've authored a book, Coaching Catchers. You obviously have a great passion for catching. You know, you're well-versed, obviously, in every part of the game. And for our young listeners out there, you know, Jerry, there's such an emphasis right now, it just seems like, on, you know, pop times and, you know, that kind of thing. I want to hear from the best, which is you. Like, what is the priorities for catchers? You know, is it receiving, blocking, throw? I mean, in your estimation, from your experience, when you look for a catcher, what are the things that stand out and you want the most of?
Well, there's four pillars. The three that you alluded to: catching, blocking, throwing, and then game management. And the game management piece is a big black hole, but it's not easy. It's very teachable. But the biggest piece right now is receiving. Because if you, we've got analysts analyzing every pitch and the run prevention or the run creation value of the result of every pitch. And when you look at receiving in a season, the catcher's receiving somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 pitches. Balls in the dirt, you know, there's probably 50 or 60 that are meaningful, and throwing, there's probably the same, probably a little bit less. So we look at the run values. And so the run values with receiving, and every pitch has a little different run value. If I get a strike instead of a ball with a 3-2 count, well, it's almost a half a run. And those things end up over the course of a season leading to run prevention. Like the better guys in professional baseball, they'll save somewhere between 28 and 31 runs over the course of a season by virtue of them getting every strike that's in the strike zone called a strike, or a very high percentage. And then a high percentage of the strip balls, marginal pitches, the shadow pitches, that's what baseball savant calls them, called strikes. And so each one has a value. And like, you take 28 runs, a major league win is somewhere between eight or 10 wins during the season. So that catcher, just by virtue of his receiving, is winning three more games than the average guy. Now, a major league win is worth about $9 million. So that guy, just by virtue of his receiving, is worth $27 million. Well, he ain't getting $27 million, I can tell you that. So he greatly overvalues his salary. The blocking piece is probably three or four runs, and the throwing piece is, or as low as one run in some years. And then the throwing piece is maybe three runs. So the best throwers and the average throwers, the difference in run prevention is maybe three runs because of the high density of pitches that you have to receive and that could go either way. So that, for me, that receiving piece is far and away number one. What they're finding, people are being very conservative. When you get a guy on base and you lose him, that's huge. That's much bigger than if the hitter makes an out. And so the break-even point for stolen bases right now in baseball is like 75 or 76%. So if you're not stealing three out of four bases, then and again, it varies based on game situation, inning out, score, et cetera. But I think that if we get better at it, if we got Nate Trotsky coaching the base stealers or Trent Maggiore working with the base stealers and it becomes a priority, I think that's a cheap way to change the game a little bit and win, because those low impact speed defensive guys are much more affordable than the high impact power guys who cost you a lot of money and end up their salaries end up being a high percentage of your total expenditure. And that becomes problematic in sustaining wins.
We'll be right back with our guest, Jerry Weinstein, after the break. Thank you.
Fever is a leading symptom of the coronavirus, so take your temperature twice a day with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's quick and easy to use, and its accuracy is backed by more than 80 clinical studies. Have your family start and end their day with the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. Your family can take their temperatures in seconds to know where they stand in the fight against COVID-19. Protect your family from the spread of this deadly disease and stay safe with Exergen.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Do you own a timeshare but can't use it because of travel restrictions, a change in life circumstances, or perhaps you can no longer afford the monthly payments or annual maintenance fees? If you feel stuck or just need to get out of your timeshare, Newton Group is here for you. They are the nation's oldest timeshare relief company, which means you can trust them. Read the reviews. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, 4.7 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, and a proven track record to legally relieve you from the financial burden of your timeshare. Getting out of your timeshare can be tricky business, so it's important you go with a company you can trust. And nobody, I mean nobody, has more experience than the experts at Newton Group. For your free consultation and your free consumer's guide to timeshare exit, call 877-WE-DO-EXIT. That's 877-WE-DO-EXIT. Why pay for something you aren't using? Give us a call at 877-WE-DO-EXIT or visit NewtonExit.com today.
Ah, buying some pretzel sticks?
Excuse me?
This is your wake-up call from Track Phone Wireless.
Okay.
What if you didn't eat all those pretzel sticks by the end of the month, so this store took them back?
Good luck.
That's how some wireless companies are with your data, but Track Phone Wireless gives you unlimited carryover data with active service, so you keep what you pay for. Plans start at $20 a month.
Wow, that's cool.
Sir, are you bothering the customers?
Yeah, hang on.
This is your wake-up call, people. Track Phone Wireless. Now you're in control.
Available at major retailers. See terms and conditions at trackphone.com.
The success of Janet's meal prep business is keeping her from keeping up with customer appetites.
Paleo Prep Meals, this is Janet. Yep, you just reheat. But we actually have a wait list currently. Oh, can you hold on one sec?
She needs to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Trosky Ranch, complete player development with Nate Trosky and Trent Mongero.
Welcome back, Nate Trosky with Trent Mongero and Jerry Weinstein. Having some great conversation with Jerry. And Jerry, if you can talk a little bit about how catching has changed. We see these guys setting up in so many different stances, even with runners on base, and they're working from the ground up. Can you talk a little bit about that and how actually something can literally change so fast? I mean, it's changed significantly. And is it due to metrics? And is there tremendous value here? And is it important that all catchers actually catch this new modern way?
Well, I think what's important is that each individual catches or plays the way that he plays best. And, you know, maybe there are times where the priority is to catch the ball. And obviously, what we've found, why guys are catching on the knees, because the data shows us that without runners on base, that guys get more strikes when they're catching on a knee. And now people are saying, well, if he can catch on a knee without runners on base, why can't he catch on a knee with runners on base? And I think a lot of catchers are finding that, A, they can block just as well from a knee, even laterally, because they're down and they don't have to work down to go get the ball. They're never late blocking. They shouldn't be. And that they can, that their throwing is not affected. They throw just as well off a knee, whether it's a right knee down, left knee down, in a kickstand stance where they're extended, or a modified kickstand stance, or they adapt to the situation. If the priority is the pitch, then I get a stance that is most conducive to getting the pitch. If the priority is blocking the ball in the dirt, like a runner on third base and ball game on the line, then, and my best stance is a traditional 2-point stance, I do that. And throwing that, you know, whatever the stance is best. But I think catchers are finding, they're a lot more relaxed with when they're down on a knee. There's less wear and tear on their body in terms of impact, and that they can see the ball better. The umpire can see the ball better. And again, it's very individualized. You take a guy like Kyle Higashioka, who ended up catching all the time at the end of the year for the Yankees. He's a real flexible, low target guy. And he went from, and he started out the season with his normal stance, and then his secondary stance with runners on base. And then he transitioned into his receiving stance all the time, even with runners on base, because he found like he could throw just as well from that stance. And I think that trial and error is a good thing. I think if you're willing to try stuff, that sometimes you find out that there are better ways to do it. And it's easy to measure. I mean, we can measure guys' effectiveness on receiving, and we can, the metrics will help us in the blocking and the throwing. And, you know, there's a lot of pieces to the throwing puzzle, because I can be in a great position and make a great throw and have a great transfer, and the guy can still be safe because the pitcher doesn't give me a chance, or the position of the pitch doesn't give me a chance, or the guy gets such a good jump. So a lot of that process is out of my control. But I think that we are seeing a lot. And again, what's changing is the glove is being less and less important as a target. The pitcher's finding new targets, so catchers are starting either starting with their glove down on the ground, kind of thumb down, or they transition before release to that position, so they're working from underneath the ball and up through it. And so I think that the data tells us that it works, not for everybody, but again, it's very individualized.
So Jerry, when we watch these guys moving the mitts so much, and I remember when just growing up, that was a bad catcher. That guy was terrible. It's like, what is this guy doing? You're going to embarrass yourself and the umpire, so you better knock it off. So now literally, I mean, they're moving it, looks like anywhere from 2 to like 12 inches. I mean, how are they getting away with so much movement?
Well, a couple things. One, with the way umpires are being evaluated with Hawkeye now, but with Pitch FX or whatever they were using, and they're just trying to get they're trying to get the pitch right. They don't how the catcher catches the ball shouldn't enter into the equation. If it's a strike, they need to call a strike. And after the game, they get evaluated and they get to see, they get that same radar chart and they get to look at the videos to see if they call balls strikes or strikes balls, irrespective of what the catcher does. And then I think another thing, I don't think the umpires see that movement. I think what happens is I think there's an eye switch, a saccade there that they kind of go blind. Not that they're blind, or I don't want to intimate that, but that if they really, they see where the glove ends up as opposed to not where the glove starts. And I think that's why it looks bad, especially to the old school guys, because you were taught, hey, you just stick that pitch and don't move the ball and don't show the umpire up, and umpires would get irritated and they'd call strikes balls intentionally because of what you were doing. And now that's in professional baseball, that's not the case. But you are exactly right. There's a lot more glove manipulation, and you were kind to say 12 inches. A lot of times it's more than that. But that's become the accepted and the technique that produces the most strikes. And I think that nobody's going to argue with that. No, there's no pitcher and say, hey, man, don't do that with your glove. You're getting me too many strikes. And I think that everybody is accepting that. Some of the old school guys that don't like that, that are purists, think, well, that's just a bad umpire. And, well, whether it's a bad umpire or not, and there aren't a lot of bad umpires in the big leagues, you're still getting a higher percentage of strikes. That's what your job is.
So my question would be, you know, what about the lower levels, the collegiate level, the high school level? Would you recommend the same philosophy to them, or what's your take on that?
Well, not having been there for a long time, I would have to see. And again, it depends on the umpire and it depends on the pitcher. I'd certainly stretch the envelope to see how far I could go. And I would constantly be communicating with that umpire relative to, hey, too much movement. Did I pick up too soon? How's my target? How's my setup? Am I too low? Am I blocking you out? And those types of things. And I think that you can do a lot more when you have a good rapport with that umpire, especially if the coach is not asking every other pitch, where was that pitch? And, just controlling the controls. And then, the catching position, you have two teammates. One is the pitcher. You're trying to make sure he has a good day, but the umpire is your other teammate because you want to make sure he has a good day. Because if he has a good day, chances are your team and your pitcher is going to have a good day as well.
That's awesome. That's great feedback right there. All of it's great, but so many young catchers and coaches don't understand how important that relationship is and how you can respect an umpire and still ask them questions. And then you have to know the umpires. Some don't. Like some high school umpires, they don't really want much interaction, you know. And then there's others that are very interactive with the catchers, and those relationships can be established and they can be kind of irritated as well. But I wanted to shift gears again because we only got like 5 minutes left and it's flying. We talked at the break a little bit about hitters at the professional level, and Nate and I use the terminology, and I think a lot of people do, toolbox, you know, depending on the skill set that we're talking about. And we were talking about hitting, Jerry, and, you know, you were talking about professional hitters and maybe some of them not having the tools in the toolbox to execute certain things. Why is that, and how important would you make it at the lower levels that hitters become complete players with all the tools in the toolbox, if that's possible to have them all there?
Well, I think it's possible. There's 24 hours in every day. And for me, when if I'm a minor league director and I'm sending a guy up to the big leagues, my hope is that he can do whatever the manager wants him to do, that he has a diverse tool set. Hey, I need to hit a ground ball to shorter second base with the infield back to get a big run in the sixth or seventh inning. Hey, I can do that. I need a drag or a push. He can do that. I need a fly ball with the infield in, a runner on third base, hit and run. I need a ground ball out of the middle that he's got. He's got a diverse set so that manager isn't kind of boxed in relative to, well, I'd like to bunt here, but man, this guy can't bunt. And boy, if we could just base hit bunt here, or hey, we want to hit and run, but he's got a lot of swing and miss in his game. And so I think it's important that as a professional hitter, you become a diverse professional hitter and not too one-dimensional. And I think there's another school of thought that they're thinking is, hey, as long as you hit X number of bombs and X number of balls that break the gap, we can tolerate some of those other situations. But it's very much dependent upon the philosophy of the manager and what he, this is a big inning type approach to baseball, but there are situations, especially from the seventh inning on, where you have to get one run at a time. I mean, if you're a one run at a time game team and you can do that for nine innings, nine runs is pretty good. But I'm not saying that this guy's going to forego his power approach to push the ball the other way when you need to have a ball hit for an extra base hit or for a go bridge to and leave the yard. But it'd be nice if guys had some diversity relative to what will help the team at the moment.
Jerry, if you could talk just briefly, we have a couple minutes left, and I would like you to just touch up on the 92.7. I like to call it, that's the radio station we tune into. I'd like every pitcher to have it written in his hat, tattooed on his forehead, tattooed all over his body, right? It's first pitch strikes, 92.7. It's going to result in either an out or a strike, right? So
I'm big on strike one, Nate. And I'm big on that. Baby. Yeah, I'm big on 92.7. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just have a question off of that. How is it then that major league hitters bat around 325 on first pitch strike, like an OO count, their average? So how does that equate? Because I'm trying to put the two together. You know, we're telling the hitters to swing first pitch because you bat, you know, over 300, but then we want the pitchers to throw first pitch strike because 92.7, that's only, I mean, right? So the percentage, so who's actually at the advantage here?
Well, actually it's like 340, and the OPS is pretty good on first pitch swings, but I think that's a result of, there's a small sample of guys that swing at first pitches and a small percentage of those guys, right around 8% of them that get hits. And so I think that first pitch strike really gives you the key to that behind that first pitch strike is so I can get to two strikes as fast as I can, because in the big leagues in the last year, 2020, which is somewhat of an anomaly, but the two strike batting average across the board was 173. So the sooner I can get to two strikes, the better. And when I throw strike one, I've got 60% greater chance to throw two of the first three pitches for strikes.
Awesome. Jerry, thank you for joining us in today's show.
Thank you, Jerry.
Awesome to have you.
Bad boys. Thank you.
What a pleasure.
We're just getting outstanding. Started, Jerry. Thank you.
Good to see you guys and talk to you. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. We're going to have
you
back.
Same to you, buddy.
We got a lot more questions.
You call me anytime. I'd be glad to come back.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, guys. We good?
We'll be right back after the break. We are good. We'll be right back after the break.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real health care for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable health care for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly health care payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current health care. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based health benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts, and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145.
Welcome back to Trosky Ranch, complete player development with Nate Trosky and Trent Mongero.
Welcome back to the show, Nate Trosky with Trent Mongero. Trent, what an outstanding guest with Jerry Weinstein. Amazing. You know, as a player, I had the opportunity to play against his team in the Final Four, which is the Junior College World Series in California. And we, our coach actually tried to model everything after. You know, we watched what Jerry did. You know, he brought in about 140 players. And the first year, every single player was a redshirt, no matter what. You're the redshirt. So he had a full squad. He had like 40 guys that were redshirt. So he really built a farm system, and he built, you know, junior college baseball. You know, he was one of the best minds in the game. And then he moved into Division I baseball. And then he went, you know, to the professional ranks, to the minor leagues, to the big leagues, to Team USA. I mean, he has done it all. And I think, you know, one of the things is Jerry was not afraid to be innovative, right? He was the first guy. He's down there with a radar gun, and then scouts were mocking him, saying, what are you going to come out with, like an x-ray vest? You're going to start x-raying hitters and pitchers? I mean, he's out there with a radar gun. They're going, what is this guy doing? And, you know, it's so interesting how when we break the status quo and we start creating the new normal, then it just becomes normal, right? And so Jerry is all about continually, you know, learning. He's a lifelong learner. And that's what we're about here. We're about complete player development. And so what an honor to have Jerry.
Oh, he was absolutely amazing. We need to have him on a Mongero Monday or Trosky Tuesday where we can let him roll for about 3 hours. Just wanted to give our audience just a couple updates, Nate, real quick about our last camp until summer coming up. It's going to be in Wichita, February 6th and 7th. So it's filling up quick. Give that a check out, TroskyRanch.com. And of course, we're about to release that our new product, building a smooth and consistent infielder. We put a ton of time into that and taking a lot of pride in it, and really excited for that to come out on the ranch here shortly, as well as our coaching membership. So we will see everybody next weekend at CPD. Good night, Trent Mongero, Nate Trosky. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Trosky Ranch, complete player development. For your player development needs, go to TroskyRanch.com.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.